Welcome to the Good Work Show, where we highlight the good that makes Atlanta work. To learn more about the show and how your company can tell their story, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Good Work Show. Now, please welcome the hosts of the Good Work Show, Elaine Armstrong and Trenise Lyons.
Audience, welcome to this week's Good Work Show. We got a good one for you.
We do. We have, an old favorite.
Yes.
She's not old, but
no,
she's coming back.
That's right. She's hasn't been on the show for two and a half or 3 years or something. But Shirley Ann Smith is coming, and she is the executive director of the Atlanta Fire Rescue Foundation. And if you didn't know that the fire department has a foundation, well, you know now. And we're going to tell you all about it when she gets here. So super cool. She's going to come on later in the show. And then after the break, we're going to have
Lee Osorio. Mm-hmm. I got it right. Yes. Mm-hmm. That should be my New Year's resolution, to pronounce people's names appropriately.
Correctly. Because you pronounced it. Might not be correct.
Lee's with the Out of Hand Theater, and they are doing something super cool where they are taking theater to the people. So they're not just doing it in one location. They're doing it all over the metro area, going into people's homes and all kinds of stuff. But not just that, but they're tackling some of our largest social action issues that are happening right now. So Lee's going to come in and talk to us about the topics they're tackling and then how they're bringing these messages directly to people where they are. And, you know, having conversations in places where people are comfortable and willing to dive in. So two great organizations, one we've had before, one who's brand new to us, but I'm excited to hear from both of them.
That's right. So it's going to be a good show. Thank you for sticking with us on the Good Work Show in 2020. I was going to say 2019. Thanks for sticking with us 2019.
That let us come back in 2020.
Yes.
So speaking of 2020, did you see the whole thing about for 2020 specifically, you should write out the whole year?
What do you mean?
So you know how
the whole year.
Yeah, so when
like
you do
2020,
it,
like
you should write 2020, especially.
Is there a dash in it?
No,
is it 20-20?
Okay, stop. Let me finish.
But you said write it out.
Let me finish and then you'll understand what I'm saying. So
you should have been clear at the beginning. Did anybody else get 2020? Because what else would you write? 2020, right?
No, but when you, so like in 2019.
Okay.
Thanks. In 2019,
I'm gonna let you finish. But Beyonce.
You might have written a date where you would say 2/7/19. Just the last
The
two
dashes.
Numbers.
Yes, yes.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
So what they're saying for 2020 is that you need to write 2/7.
They should have said that in 2019.
Write the whole thing out, because for legal documents, what people would be able to do is to forge the dates and just fill in. So like say you had a legal document.
To put something on the back end of it.
Right.
Oh.
So say you had a legal document and you just wrote like, oh, well, yeah, I signed this on 12/31.
Mm-hmm. At the end,
somebody could come behind you and forge that document and say, oh, but you signed this in 2017. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They should have said that in 2019.
Well, they should have told us
it's
that.
It's too late because everything I've signed in the last days has been 2/0.
But you know what? I saw the article and I was like, that's a good point. And
it
I actually have been very diligent about writing out 2020 on stuff, the full four numbers.
Just go ahead and spell it out like I said.
20.
W-E-N-T-Y-.
In the year of our Lord.
Yes.
2000
on this day. Yes. I'm gonna do all of that. Don't ever ask me to write a check or sign a document, because it's gonna take me 3 minutes
in the year of our Lord. Yes. Yeah. So anyway, public service announcement for listening to the Good Work Show, to write out the four
numbers.
Why
couldn't they have said that though? They should have been preparing for that like in September. Like that should have been the September story of the week.
Messaging didn't really, whoever was in charge of
that
messaging,
communications person.
They need to hire us, apparently.
Apparently,
to be fair, I saw it within the first week of 2020 when you're still probably writing 2019 on everything because you didn't remember that the year changed.
Right.
So there's that part of it. But so I saw it kind of early enough in the year to be. So I have signed a couple of things and I was like, okay, let me go ahead and write out the full thing for checks. And they said legal documents. So if you're signing a lease, if you're signing.
But you know what? Why didn't they say that in 2019?
Because you wrote 1-9.
But you could have put 7-9 behind it, 8-0. It could have been 1932 when you signed that document.
Really?
It could have.
Okay.
It could have.
I mean,
that's what I'm saying. It could have been 1989. It could have been 1991. The likelihood
of you signing a lease.
Who knows what my signature looks like? Because
they
I don't
know
even,
what you look like.
I signed it.
They
I
know what it. You look like to the point that you weren't signing a lease when you were 10.
Now, if you're going to go and do all that, they probably got a whole forgery of your license. They got a whole Social Security number.
Let's be honest.
They did everything. Just go all the way in.
Everything's in the cloud, and we don't own anything that we own, and our faces are...
That's
the,
true. You know, they could have made it 1999, though. That's not that long ago.
It's 20 years.
Huh?
It's 20 years.
I know, but you could have signed something 20 years ago. You were surely here.
I'm just saying, but the likelihood that you had something from like 2020 that to like 2018 is a lot more feasible than a 20-year gap.
Depends on how old you are, though.
Well, that's true, because you know.
Because if you were a senior, that 1999, that's.
But I wasn't signing anything important and legally binding.
No, not a senior in high school. A senior
citizen.
Yes. Right.
I just don't understand how this spiraled. I just thought
that they should have warned people. Now, I can see if it was like, don't put 18, and then, like, nobody's going back to the 1800s. But 19-something was not that long ago.
Well, that's, I guess so.
So,
or we
they should have done that
taken
messaging before.
This little snippet of information and said, that's a good idea, and move on. This did not require this level of
most things don't. But
that is so true.
But
if we look,
that
back
is
at
the point of this
you
show.
Know, we've got
at least this first 10 minutes.
I know we've got Rashad in the room, and
hey, Rashad, come over here.
Come here.
His face. He was
come
like,
say
no.
Hi to the people.
This is Rashad Christie.
Hello, this is Rashad.
Hey, Rashad. We just said that.
We did. So Rashad does our social. So if you see any of the stuff that we're doing online, and Rashad's responsible for all that. But Rashad also is forced to listen to this show.
Every week.
Every week.
I thought you liked the show.
I know.
So wait a minute. This is how I think Rashad listens to the show. Because I walked around to our desk earlier and I was like, Rashad, you have on a hearing aid. But it wasn't. It was his ear pod, but it was to the back. I think that's how he listens to the show. Like, I don't really want it in my ear. I just want it to pick up on
like
cues.
I have to hear it.
Yes. So I'm going to let it hang halfway off because this is disturbing to me. I feel like that's how he listens to
but
the show.
Rashad, thanks, Rashad.
Yeah.
But Rashad, and listening to the first 10 minutes of this show, probably knows us better than anybody else at Goodwill.
That's true. That is
true.
Because nobody else listens to our show.
But he's heard all the stories. He knows about my dad. He knows about hot dogs
LeBron.
At Sam's.
Who? LeBron.
Well, I said Ron. I'm like, who's Ron?
LeBron. LeBron.
LeBron.
LeBron. What in the world? Why?
Oh, my goodness. Thank God we have really good guests coming in today because to bring this back together. But
I really want to say now that big shout out, though, to Atlanta Fire Department.
Yeah, you
Fire
did a
Rescue
fun
Department.
Thing.
Yes.
Tell us
so
about it.
I will.
No, I'm interviewing you. Tell us all about
yes,
it.
Yes, I am. So Chief Randall Slaughter is in my Leadership Atlanta class. Shout out to
Chief.
Yes. Woo. But he invited us all in Leadership Atlanta if we wanted to do ride-alongs with the fire department to do that. So I got a chance to ride with the folks at Station 20, A-Shift, just to make that clear, A-Shift, with Captain Brock and the team. It was so fun. So I didn't get to put out any fires personally. I wasn't trained to do that. So
exactly. So I'm very grateful to the chief.
Be very grateful
to
for
not
that.
Allow people who just hop on a truck
I was
one
a
day to
civilian observer. But,
very nice.
The men and women at the fire department are doing some great work. They were great conversationalists when we had downtime. and got to learn about how they became firefighters and what their decision was to do that. And then go out with them and ride in the truck and
was
hear
there
them.
A Dalmatian?
No, there is not Dalmatians in the fire department. That's just on TV. They did have a pole in the fire department but in that station.
But not a Dalmatian.
No, they did not. Okay. And
disappointing.
I know. But they're super trained in all. I mean, there's so much, not only just technical stuff that they know about putting out fires, but also administering emergency services to people and knowing how to treat them until EMS gets there. And so on some calls we went and shout out to all the first responders, by the way, but we went to a couple of calls where EMS came and then the police came. And it was really cool to kind of see how they all collectively work together. But firefighters are my favorite first responders ever. They're just all nice. I've never met a mean firefighter. Never.
Nor would you. But no. I will say that firefighters.
Maybe they're out there, no, but they're good. At least not in Atlanta. I haven't come across one.
Firefighters have also done really great marketing.
Yeah, yeah. Would you call it marketing or just branding?
Well, just branding. I think it's branding. Yeah. I mean, if you think between the calendars. But the cool hats, the cool trucks.
Yes,
but
then the cooking. Yes, inviting people to the station, giving them a tour.
Rescuing the kittens out of the tree. I mean, I think I don't even know if that probably happened once with one firefighter ever. But they rescued that kitten, and then you see like the big firefighter carrying the little kitten down the tree. Because I'm pretty sure cats can get out of trees. I just don't.
They got in there. So
they got
I feel
in
like
the
they
tree.
Should
I feel
able
like
to
they can
out.
Get out.
Yeah.
So.
But that is a good story. They're always good stories.
They're always good
stories. They're heroes.
And we're going to learn more about them and how, more importantly, the community can support our firefighters.
Please
when
support them,
comes
yeah.
in. But then after the break, we're going to hear from Lee from Out of Hand Theater and really inspiring some conversations that need to happen here in our community.
Definitely, definitely do. So stick with us. You're listening to The Good Work Show. Welcome back to the show. We are excited to be sitting here with Lee Osorio, who is the Assistant Artistic Director for Out of Hand Theater. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So Out of Hand Theater, I don't think I've ever heard of it. So I want to know, I'm excited. Tell us all about it and what your mission is.
Sure. So our mission is to spark conversations to build a better world. We use the tools
well,
of
not
theater.
Big.
Yeah, not big at all. You know,
just a
yeah,
little thing.
Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, we were meeting with Dr. Meeks yesterday, Dr. Catherine Meeks mm-hmm. from the Absalom Jones Center. And she said, I want to wake up today and make the world a shade braver and make myself a shade braver than I was yesterday. So, you know, it's a big goal, but we take it in small steps. I was quoting David White, a poet that she's a big fan of. So our goal is to spark these conversations, and we use the tools of theater to do things, again, not lofty at all, like dismantle racism, close the economic opportunity gaps for folks here in our community, and promote peace, anti-racism, nonviolence, all those things.
Nice.
Just little problems in society that,
we're
you know.
Only conquering the things we think we can change by the end of the week.
Got it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Got
right.
it. Okay,
yeah.
cool.
Well, where did that name come from, though? Out of Hand.
Yeah, so it started about 20 years ago, and it started with a group of Emory grads. Okay. So they were young, and they had, you know, learned theater, and it was mostly the white, Western, European canon of theater, and they mm-hmm. wanted to make work that was for now, that mm-hmm. got people in their age groups out of the house, not looking at the television screen. This was just when Netflix, I think it might have still been on the little DVDs
yes,
that you got
mail
in the
of your
mail.
House. Yeah.
So they wanted to create theater for everyone. And that's why they called it that. They wanted to create these events that could get a little out of hand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so now we've kind of shifted in our gears, much more social justice oriented. Yeah. So we like to spark conversations that you're worried just might get out of hand.
Yeah.
That may need to get out of hand. Mm-hmm. These are not easy things that we're tackling, but that's how we're looking at it.
I love it. Yeah.
I like sense. It. So when folks leave a production that you guys have put on, what do you hope, like that immediate feeling, that immediate goal, what you would want to accomplish from your audience?
Seeing things from a new perspective. So we have three different areas that we're working in. The first is we have home shows, and we put on a different home show every year, tackling some sort of social justice issue. We go into 40 homes throughout the metro Atlanta area. We've been as far west as English Avenue, as far east as Decatur, as far north as we have a show in Cherokee County this year, and as far south as St. Simon's. So not really in the metro area, but south.
I'll go to that one.
Yeah. And so this year, our show was tackling gun violence in America. They're always one-person shows. We set up in their living room. It's very intimate. And then afterwards, there is a conversation. And it's always facilitated by a community partner. And this year, our talkbacks were done in collaboration with Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America. And so we had some very lively conversations, as you would imagine, talking about guns in Georgia. And our hope is that people will hear a perspective that they hadn't heard before, hear something that makes them want to take action in this issue that is facing our country right now, 100 gun deaths every single day. Yeah. And about 66% of those are from suicide. So we've got some major issues in our community. So to learn something new, gain a new perspective, maybe make a new friend. There's always food. There's always cocktails or wine involved. And leave with an idea of how to maybe build that better world we're after.
That's great. Yeah. I love the concept of it, though.
I know.
Yeah.
You want to host one in your in your living room?
Well, probably not in my living room, but I can find you somewhere to host one. I will. I could definitely do that. I think that and bridging it. So you said, talk about their one person shows. So who, how does all of that come about? Are you, you know, creating the content, or do the actors come and they say, oh, I want to tackle this issue, or are they assigned an issue? Like, how does, logistically, how does all that work?
So our artistic director, Ariel Fristo, decides on the topic, and she, you know, talks to community members, she talks to partners. Sometimes we're approached by people, and just sort of looking at what's in the air in our community that we desperately need to talk about right now. So she is a mother of a child who is 8 years old right now, who is going through active shooter drills at school at 8 years old, you know, being, you know, literally being put into a closet and told to be quiet and have to sit there for 10 minutes to practice what they would do if there's an active shooter. But in Atlanta, it's not just school shootings. Obviously, you know, again, I live on the west side in English Avenue, and the problems that are, you know, that are around guns are not just in the schools, and they're predominantly in communities of color that are disproportionately affected by these issues. So the great thing about doing the show in English Avenue was we had a neighbor come and talk about her experience surviving gun violence 19 years ago. Latia Perry was shot in the face trying to break up a fight between two people, and she survived miraculously. She, you know, put her hand to her face and walked down the street until she found help. And she still has gun fragments coming out of her face. And there was, she was a Spelman student, and it drastically changed the course of her life. But she is still committed, as she was that night, to making English Avenue the neighborhood that she knows it can be, and raising awareness about English Avenue. So after she spoke in her own neighborhood, we then brought her to other neighborhoods, including Inman Park and Midtown, to talk about her experiences growing up in English Avenue, her experience surviving gun violence. And it's raised a ton of awareness about this neighborhood that people don't want to talk about, you know, and not just people in Midtown and Inman Park, but people in Cascade don't want to really dig into the west side.
So I just want to make sure that people know. So if somebody wants to, say, host a dinner or so is okay, I have a lot of questions. Obviously, I'm trying to figure out the first one I want to ask. Okay, so is the gun violence story that you're telling, is that over? Are you going on to another topic now? So did people miss that one? You're going to have to catch
So that's a great question. Okay. Thank you. So it was supposed to be over. It was supposed to end November 24th. I'm the actor in that. It was written by a guy up in Connecticut. We found this piece. Every year we pick a different topic. This was 2019's topic, and we find a piece or we create a piece that tackles that issue. So it was supposed to end in November. We thought this was going to be one of our lowest selling shows because it's just a tough issue. And, you know, the idea of going to someone's, a stranger's house and talking about gun violence isn't like necessarily what you want to do on your Friday night. It has been our most popular show to date by far. Last year, I think we sold about 30 performances of Shaking the Wind, which was our highest selling show at that point. And now we have, I think, 42 shows total booked. And we're running through February 15th. Okay. So if you go to our website, www.outofhandtheater.com, that's T-H-E-A-T-E-R. We spell it the old school way, not the fancy way, R-E. So E-R. You can find the locations of those shows. And for anyone that's like, oh, I don't have the $30 for a ticket, totally understand that. I don't either. I work in a nonprofit theater company. St. Luke's Episcopal, which is right downtown and what people are calling the Stitch now, right between Midtown and downtown, is hosting a free performance open to all on January 26th at 1 p.m. I believe lunch might even be included. Okay. So if you're looking to see the show but don't have the resources to buy a ticket, we'd love for you to come to that performance in particular.
Wow.
And the home shows are just one of the things that we do.
So one last question on the home show then. Mm-hmm. So it literally is somebody's house. So somebody basically volunteers to say, okay, I'm going to put my house up as the location for you to put on this performance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do they have to provide the dinner?
So, yes. Our host.
That's why you can't do it at my house.
It works both ways. So if the host wants to provide the, and it's not always dinner. If they want to provide the snacks and they want to provide the wine, we would love for them to do that. Mm-hmm. If they aren't able to and you still want to host one, we will provide that. We are in the process. We have had some incredibly generous hosts. Yeah. I came on board in July to the company, and it's been amazing to go into some of the nicest homes in Atlanta and have them open their homes to welcome people. Our goal now is to find homes like, you know, my friend in English Avenue's home, where we can bring in a much more diverse audience to have this conversation. So that is our focus going forward. In 2020, the home show that we haven't picked yet, if you know a great one-person show about this topic, please contact us. But it's going to be about mass incarceration and the school-to-prison pipeline, and it's going to tackle that issue, which I think will be great because not only will we reach out to audiences that have been directly affected by that in the new year, but also we're taking those stories into homes of extreme privilege in Buckhead and in Marietta, and opening their eyes, hopefully, to all of the systematic ways that racism has continued the legacy of slavery to today. Yep. And that's a conversation that needs to be had all over the city.
Agreed. 100% agree.
That is so cool.
Yeah. So you said if somebody knows of a show, so they may not know of a show, but they may know an expert on the topic or someone who is working in the space. You know, Fulton County's DA office just did their, you know, had their unit yesterday, recently, where they announced, you know, that they were going to be investigating those cases where people were put in jail or prison, you know, wrongly or not enough evidence and for whatever the case. So all of those things. So maybe you have knowledge or the expert, but you don't know of a show to put together. Is that of use to you, or do you need someone to come to you with the whole package?
No, that is absolutely of use to us. Every show that we do is a partnership with a community organization or a civic group.
Okay.
Like I said, the last show that we did was with Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America. Mm-hmm. The next show that we do, we haven't found that partner yet.
Okay.
It could be the Georgia Justice Project.
Yep.
It could be the DA office. So we are always looking for partners that are invested in the work that we are doing. I mean, we'd love to have them on board. As I mentioned, it's not just enough to have the art afterwards. We ask people to go get more wine and then come back for a conversation. It's always a facilitated conversation, so it would be great to have some of those folks in that facilitated conversation sharing their experiences as well.
Okay. So we're going to take a break, Lee. We're going to come back, talk a little bit more about some of the work that Out of Hand is doing, and then give our audience another reminder about how they can get involved, because it seems like there's so many avenues now about how they can do that. So hang on with us, audience. We're going to take a break. You're listening to The Good Work Show. Audience, welcome back to the Good Work Show. We've been chatting with Lee Osorio, who is the assistant art director, artistic director. I guess the art director, you guys.
Associate artistic director. Associate.
No.
That's all right.
So I just butchered the whole thing up. So from Out of Hand Theater, theater company here locally that is through art and theater tackling some of our world's just, toughest, challenging issues. Everything from racial inequality to gun violence, you name it. They are doing that through theater, but then also having the conversation, I think, afterwards is the part that I think is the key to what you're doing, not just bringing forth the art, but making people talk about it. And usually when you experience theater or some type of art, it's kind of cathartic and gives you an opportunity to talk about what you just saw. But to apply that to an issue of social justice, I think is so smart.
And to keep people in the room, so often we send you out into the night after you've seen a show. We say, thank you, goodbye, we've got to clean up the theater now. Nope, we're asking you to stick around. We're asking you to invest. Yeah. Have a glass of wine, of course, while you do it.
Right, but always good.
Yeah.
But you're also talking to different people. So, like, if you go see a show and you leave, you may go to dinner, but you're going to talk to the people that you came with.
Yeah.
And you'll have generally the same perspective. So I think there is something that added twist of you're talking to everyone who just saw it. So you get those different perspectives and not just the people that came in your car.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that brings me to one of the other buckets of work that we do are these big civic collaborations. Mm-hmm. At one of our home shows in 2018 now, not last year,
not
we're in 2020. There was a host who lived in Decatur. Mm-hmm. And Decatur, it hit the media. They pride themselves on being a very liberal and progressive city. However, they were having huge issues, as so many schools across America are, with great disparities in the way that children of color were being disciplined in their school and how that affected the academic outcomes that they had. Okay. So they started a conversation after one of our home shows that night. There happened to be there another group called One Small Change and Both And. Mm. They put on dinners to bring people together to have, these tough discussions about race and equity in our community. And they said, the thing about the dinners is, you are kind of dependent on someone having a great story to share at the top. Mm. That's when they're most successful. If someone really opens up right off the bat, shares their very personal story about these issues, and then that gets everyone else going. But you can't count on that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have it, sometimes you don't. What if we have Minka, who is the creator of Shaking the Wind, write a piece about being a Black woman in America that kicks off a dinner? That was the germ of the idea. It turned into Decatur Dinners, which was a partnership with the City of Decatur, Decatur City Schools, and the Decatur Housing Authority. And on August 25th in 2019, we had 1,200 people that live, work, worship, and play in the City of Decatur come out to have a discussion about race and equity. And the entire event was launched by this play by Minka Wiltz, which was only about 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. But we had 70 different actors, all Black actors. We got her to change the script so it was older men and older women and younger men and younger women. There were four different versions of the script. 70 different actors all across Decatur simultaneously performing this play while people had this discussion. And you're exactly right. We curated each table to be people that didn't know each other, that came from different backgrounds, different ages, different races, having this really tough discussion about race and equity, and art really launched that conversation in a way that made it possible, made people comfortable opening up and giving them something to respond to. So it's not just like, what do you think about race?
Right.
Right.
Well,
it's a social construct.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So are those conversations facilitated? Because as the name said, sometimes those things can get out of hand. Are they facilitated? And then obviously, anytime I've been in part of those conversations, either there's a number of things that go on. So depending on how much you are aware or woke about the topic, no matter where you are on that spectrum, there's a different response to it. And some people are angry, saddened, grieved, and others are like, oh, I already knew this already. What next? Like, what are we going to do about it? And is there a piece that says, what comes next after the conversation? Like, what's the action that you are challenged that you're giving to people after they've had the conversation?
Those are great questions. Every conversation is facilitated, and that's where both and okay. and one small change come in. Mm-hmm. They train all of our facilitators, and every conversation has a host okay. as well. If the facilitator needs a little backup because mm-hmm. someone is either, you know, talking a lot or getting a little heated, there are mm-hmm. two people in the room that can kind of say, okay, let's take a break, or, you know, let's hear from this person who hasn't had a chance to speak yet. And I was at one of the dinners, and, you know, people came with, like you said, varying levels of experience. Mm-hmm. People mm-hmm. who have, you know, been Black every day of their life.
That's right. Yeah.
And are in a different place than people who are, you know, white and living in Decatur and think they're doing the right thing, bringing their, you know, choosing a district that's diverse. Mm-hmm. And then, but it gives the possibility of challenging everyone from where they are,
yeah.
saying, you know, yes, you're Black and you're living in Decatur with a certain amount of privilege as well. Mm-hmm. And how are we thinking mm-hmm. about other people?
That's right.
And yes, you're white and you chose to be in this more diverse school system, but you could have gone to Southwest Atlanta. Mm-hmm. You could have gone to South to Thomasville. Mm-hmm. You know, you still
could have gone to South
DeKalb. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's I mean, still a level yeah. of privilege. Yeah. And how do we check?
And you chose.
Yes. And you had and you had ability to choose.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
So that gets us to what next? Mm-hmm. And at the end of every meal, every participant was asked to sign a card, making a commitment to one action mm-hmm. item. And they really got to dictate what that was
sure.
because that way they're going to do it. It's not us telling you what that should be. One of the most impactful stories that I heard was from an actor who said they were at a dinner with a white couple that had adopted a Black child. Mm-hmm. And they kept, you know, saying to her after she performed the story, which was not her own story, but again, mm-hmm. there's enough resonance that it could
sure.
have been. They said, what can we do? Oh, I just feel so bad. What can we do for you?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's not what you can do for me. It's what right. you can do for yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Educate yourself. Yeah. Learn our story. Mm-hmm. Do you know who Madam C.J. Walker is? Mm-hmm. Have you read books like Stamped from the Beginning and, mm-hmm. you know, Ibram Kendi's new book, How to Be an Anti-Racist?
Racist.
There
yeah.
are, I mean, Michelle Alexander's book. Like, there's so many resources yeah. out there that...
Mm-hmm.
For people to educate themselves. It's not what you can do for me.
That's right.
It's what you can do for yourself, especially as you're raising this Black child
mm-hmm.
And how to serve your child.
Yeah. Yeah.
So cool. Was the dinner kind of like a one-off, or is this going to be a reoccurring thing?
So we have had interest from around the country in bringing the dinners to so many different communities. We are most focused right now on the Atlanta dinners. Our goal is to have 500 dinners in the month of September in 2020
okay.
and have 5,000 participants. So it's about right. five times bigger than mm-hmm. we expected mm-hmm. to have 100 dinners in Decatur. We had 120. I'm hoping we don't have a 20% increase in 500 because that's a lot of work for
yes.
us. But
yeah.
if it happens, great. We'll make it happen. So it is coming here to our community as well.
And yeah. have you determined the topic for that one yet? Or is it going to...
So that one will be the same conversation about race and equity.
Okay, cool.
Because
yeah.
Lord
we
knows we have
it.
Lots of conversations
yes.
in Atlanta to have as APS. If you look at the literacy rates, Lord, we need to have some conversations about race and equity.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Which
so should they start? Should people start? Because you need 500 locations, right? So obviously, I mean, I'm sure... You could start doing that later on, but we're in January. So
right.
if you are listening and you want to host, please reach out to us and we okay. would love to put you on a list. We haven't started that part of the work yet. We're still looking for the partners for that.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to the mayor's office, talking to APS.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for a housing institution, whether that be Invest Atlanta or mm-hmm. another mm-hmm. institution in town to partner with. But we would love to have them involved in that. I know we're running a little short on time, but since mentioned literacy, I want to talk a little bit about Creative Kids, which
Please.
Is our education program.
Sure.
It is a 15-week education program offered completely free to the schools serving mm-hmm. the children that are living in the highest poverty neighborhoods that have been historically disinvested.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many studies that prove that if especially kids coming from, you know, low-income families, if they have arts education, they're five times more likely to graduate high school. They're three times more likely to graduate college. and arts funding is something that is being cut at the state level in such a huge way, and it is a detriment to our students, and that is felt even more among the most vulnerable among us. Mm-hmm. So that's the point. That's what we're doing with Creative Kids, is taking artists who have been trained at the Alliance Theater and taking them out into communities. We serve them in their schools. We have both after school and in school programming for those children.
Fantastic. How do people find more and get involved in that?
So the biggest need that we have there, because it's offered absolutely free to the schools and to the students, is funding. Mm-hmm. We would love to grow the program. We are right now just sort of capped at the number of students and schools we can serve by how much funding we get. So if you're interested in serving that program, the best thing that you can do is to donate to Creative Kids. Okay. They can do that through our website. Again, that's www.outofhandtheater.com. Mm-hmm. Or they can find more information by emailing me. My email is lee@outofhandtheater.com. And I'm happy to point them in the right direction.
Fantastic, Lee. Wow, this has been really great. And I think that hopefully by this interview, you will have those 500 shows booked, plus some funding, plus some more stuff, because this is really cool and a good way to continue to have those super necessary conversations that we need to have on topics that people are, they say they are interested in and want to make change about, but are so reluctant and or reluctant to go very deep in the conversation. So thank you so much for that. Again, the website is outofhandtheater.com, and Creative Kids is the program for the youth that they can invest in. So thank you so much for coming by the Good Work Show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You're listening to the Good Work Show. Welcome back to the Good Work Show. We are sitting here with one of our favorites. It's a friend of the show, Shirley-Ann Smith. Yay!
Hello!
If you didn't already know, she is the executive director for the Atlanta Fire Rescue Foundation. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a beautiful Thursday, so I'm glad to be here.
Yes. Oh. So it's been, I don't know how long since you'd last been on the show. Too long, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Almost 2 to 3 years, I think. I was trying to remember, and I'm like, it's been a long time.
I know. And your hair was short.
It was very short. I had just shaved it off. So this is the growth since then. So that means it's been too long.
You have I know. Okay, so for people who don't know what the AFRF does, definitely tell us about what you do and what the mission is.
Okay, so the Atlanta Fire Rescue Foundation is the nonprofit arm to the Atlanta Fire Rescue Department. Our role is to actually stand in the gap between what the city of Atlanta provides and what the mission of the Atlanta Fire Rescue Department is. So most people don't realize that the city of Atlanta's budget is about 80% just salaries and benefits, meaning it leaves very little room for the firefighters to actually get things accomplished in an efficient manner. So when they don't have the financial resources, it's the foundation's job to try to find those out in the community so that they can actually keep Atlanta safe every single day.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what those gaps are. So what's the stuff that we're not getting from where people probably think it comes from that's actually coming through from the foundation?
So let's talk about big level. In 2019, the city of Atlanta started with about 204 vacancies for the fire department.
Wow.
Meaning that's about a quarter of the workforce that they need every single year.
So just like a quarter of people shouldn't set their houses on fire.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yes.
So we were needing critical personnel, right? Mm-hmm. And so what we did for the fire department was actually launch a recruitment campaign. And while we were focused on just overall recruitment, we were also focused on diversity, meaning we were lacking women, we were lacking members of the Latino community, and also membership from the LGBTQ community as well. Mm-hmm. So we launched a Step Forward campaign on their behalf to allow them to actually recruit more personnel. But what you probably have seen in the media most recently is our win with the partnership of Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms in terms of their pay raises.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So City of Atlanta firefighters this past December actually received a 25% base rate increase on their pay.
Woo! Yes.
Meaning
can
that's
I have
big.
One of those, Elaine?
And sure. Yes. In about a few years, once I retire, you can have anything you want.
So here's what's important about that pay rate. Almost every single fire department next to the city of Atlanta mm-hmm. made more than the city of Atlanta,
wow.
which meant we were not being able to actually recruit top talent mm-hmm. when it came to firefighters. So with these pay raises, it now actually allows the fire department to recruit more individuals and to have more diversity, thereby just meaning that the city is safer because we have top talent serving you.
That's great. That's remarkable. And I mean, that's 25%. It sounds huge. And kudos to the mayor's team and to you and to Chief Slaughter and everybody who worked really hard to make that happen. But there's still the need for the foundation.
That's yeah. true.
And so so I want to make sure that we do celebrate that. But we also, I think it's great that you exist, one, and the organization exists, because there are a lot of needs that the department might have. And we want to support our firefighters because they're all helping to keep us safe. So one of the primary initiatives, though, that you have is to strive to help everybody be safe in Correct. Atlanta. And so you've got a community emergency response team, because while the raise is there, you still have to recruit all of the people. So yeah. it just happened. So there's probably still some shortages there. But in the interim, the foundation is doing a lot of things to help the community get involved and in making it safer. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I will tell you, I'm Puerto Rican born and raised. And so I'm very used to national emergencies, right?
Mm-hmm. So, I used to work for FEMA. So when she's like community, I'm like, oh, a CERT team?
Yes, yes.
Team. Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
There you go. So in just the last 2 years, Puerto Rico has experienced yeah. a major hurricane that was devastating. And then in the last couple of days, we experienced the earthquakes, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So major incidents can happen at any time, whether it's a man-made incident or whether it's a natural-based incident. So the CERT team, what it teaches our community to do is to learn how to be prepared when those incidents actually take place. So with such a small workforce and the fire department available every day, you know that they're going to be responding based on priority, mm-hmm. meaning they might not come to you within 72 hours. So in that case, we're going to teach you to have the skills and the competencies you need to be able to respond to your family as well as to your neighbors. And what people don't know, it's a free program, guys.
So you get a jacket.
You do.
So I want one with the patch and everything.
But does it say CERT on the back?
It does.
Okay.
So that's what you want. You want this. I want this one that says I'm fired.
Yeah, so
well, you have to go to the academy for that.
I know, right?
I will tell you that. So shout out to Ms. Telfany Morgan, who leads the CERT team here in Atlanta. So if you pass the CERT training okay. after 6 weeks, you will actually get your own bag, which is your emergency preparedness bag. You'll get a shirt, a jacket, and a beanie hat.
Oh,
and they
okay.
participate in almost all types yes. of events. So if you go to the Peachtree Road Race,
yeah.
they volunteer at the Peachtree Road Race.
Okay.
If you go to the Mayor's 5K on their runway, they're also prepared nice. To actually facilitate emergency incidents there. So they're very involved. And again, it's free to get all the goodie bags.
Nice, nice. Yeah. But it's super important, too, because I think a lot of people, when you have those emergency situations, your family and your personal safety and your needs are always super important to you. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to think about in one of those disasters, the larger situation. But I think when there's so much around you, and we have to keep in mind that the fire personnel, there's only so many of them, and they're going to and there's a method to everything that they're doing and who they come to first. And so I think that even just having that understanding going through the training could be helpful, too.
Well, firefighters are great, right? They're the skilled professionals mm-hmm. that have been professionally trained to do what they do. But it's their airplane philosophy, yeah. right? When you have an incident on an airplane, they teach you to put your own mask on first
right.
and then actually put one on someone else. So it's the same methodology mm-hmm. applied to first response.
Yeah, it's cool.
I have a go bag.
We'll get you one, I promise.
No, I have one.
You went through it.
No, I didn't go. I used to watch shows.
No.
So my past life before coming to Goodwill, I did all disaster safety education, that kind of stuff. So yeah, people laugh at me, but I'm like, I got my backpack in my coat closet.
You're ready to go. It makes you think at life very differently.
It's got the MREs in it. It has batteries.
Keep the MREs if they're expired.
But it's got all. It's got a flashlight. It's got all the stuff in there.
Are your batteries still good?
You check. The batteries are good. Yeah, I do.
You should put that together. That could be a business. You should put that together and sell them.
It is a business. That's where I got that from. Okay. That's where I got that one from. So, just saying.
If you don't know how to put a kit together, the Fire Foundation will teach you how to put one together.
Okay. All right,
Or you can buy one.
Yeah, that's true.
But you should get it from Shirley.
Correct. No, I will. I'll get another one.
Okay, we're going to go through the training and we'll learn how to put it together. So we'll educate everybody.
I would say clocks just went back, but they didn't. It's been a while. It still feels soon.
I know.
Recent. But
they're getting ready to go forward, right? You spring it forward.
Spring forward. Yeah. So either way, we're kind of in the middle. They went back. They're going forward. But you're supposed to do stuff with your smoke alarms at that time. So talk to us about the program that y'all have about that. And it's more than just checking them. It's other stuff, too. But.
Right. So the Fire Foundation supports one of the main programs for the fire department. And that's the ASAP program, standing for Atlanta Smoke Alarm Program. So the foundation helps the fire department get fire alarms as well as the batteries and help you get the installations for them. If you're a City of Atlanta resident and you need a smoke alarm detector, we will actually send someone from the community affairs team or your local fire station to come install it for you. Your smoke detector is your first line of defense. And in order for us to reduce the number of calls firefighters go on, we need you to be protected. Most recently, right after Thanksgiving, we had to support a family that lost their home with seven family members.
Oh, my God.
Wow. We don't ever want to see that situation ever, ever, ever if we could prevent it, right? So if you need a smoke alarm, call the Fire Foundation or call the fire department, and we will help you get a smoke alarm in your home. And just FYI, if you don't know, you need a smoke detector for every bedroom in your home.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, and sleep with the door closed.
I do sleep with my bedroom door closed.
I do, too. Yeah.
But I need some more.
Yeah, I feel like I need
every bedroom.
Yeah.
I have...
So why don't builders put one in every bedroom? Because my house wasn't built that way.
No, mine is like in the hallway.
I mean, I have a few of them, but not every bedroom.
I have one.
I have a new home that was built in 2018, and our home actually came with a smoke detector in every room.
Okay, good.
So it might just be something that newer homes have.
Because, I'm going to need to call our people.
Yes.
I need to call my alarm company because.
So how do folks support the work that you're doing and their local fire? Because I'm telling you, like, firefighters are the nicest. No shade to any of the other first responders, but let me just tell you, firefighters are the nicest.
But you can go to the firehouse, too. You can just walk up and visit,
but
right?
But see, that's the thing. You can walk up to a firehouse, you're not walking up to the police station with the same.
That's true.
But it does feel very familial, and they're all still super nice. But how do we support the work that they're doing and the work of the foundation?
So the firefighters are indeed the good guys, right? I think they have a great image in the community. People like the kittens. Not afraid of them when they come up. The kids love them. You want to be one, right? You want to work out with one.
Yep.
But what I would say is we need more individuals in the community to step up and be a fire department ambassador. Meaning that we want you to be a part of the Adopt a Fire Station program. Last November, we announced at our breakfast with our bravest that we wanted every single station in the City of Atlanta to be adopted in 2020. That's 36 stations that we need someone to commit to. An ambassador's role would be to adopt a station and commit to raising an individual goal of at least $5,000. It's an ambitious goal, but it's very needed. If you go to your nearby fire stations, a lot of our community would argue they need some work and they also need some support. And we need those dollars in order to actually make fire stations a great place to live and to work. Firefighters spend a third of their life at a fire station. And so we need to make them places where the firefighters want to be. And adopting a fire station is the biggest way to help.
All right. Well, Shirley Ann, thank you so much for coming on the show. adopt a fire station. Yeah, that's all you gotta do. Just $5,000 is really not that much.
A lot of money. Yeah, so when it comes to, well, it is, but yes, you know what I mean.
And we'll get you together. A ride along.
That's right. Yes. And by the way, shout out to Station 20. Whoop, whoop. Thank you, Shirley Ann, for coming on the show.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Good Work Show.